We lock up the house and some guys fix up the car. At other times, the little word has real special meaning. People stir up trouble, line up for tickets, work up an appetite, and think up excuses. To be dressed is one thing, but to be dressed up is special. Up is really confusing. A drain must be opened up if it's been stopped up. We open up a store in the morning and we close it up at night. We seem to be pretty mixed up about up. Did y'all catch that? Anyway, to be knowledgeable about the proper uses of up, you can look the word up, in a dictionary. In a Dex-sized dictionary, it takes almost a fourth of a page and can add up to about 30 definitions. If you're up to it, you might try building up a list of many ways that up is used. It will take up a lot of your time. But if you don't give up, you might wind up with 100 or more. When it threatens to rain, we say it's clouding up. And when the sun comes out, we say it's clearing up. And when someone is snobby, we say they're stuck up. And when you want to know what's going on with someone, you ask, what's up? You know, don't you? And when it rains and gets muddy, it messes things up. And when it doesn't rain, everything dries up. Well, you could go on and on, but I'm going to wrap it up before my time is up. It's time to shut up. Wow. Well, we need to pray. We're going to power up our lives, all right? Father, I thank you for victory this morning that our Lord Jesus Christ bought and paid for and won for us. And Lord, I pray that today, that as we hear and share the Word of God together, that faith would rise in our hearts. Lord, that we would rise to a new level in our faith, in our walk, in our victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I just give you the glory and the honor and the praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is our day to celebrate our victory, the victory of our Lord Jesus Christ over death, hell, and the grave, to declare that He is alive, He is risen, seated at the right hand of the Father, alive forevermore. Jesus declares it in Revelation 1:18. He says, I am He who lives and was dead. Behold, I'm alive forevermore, amen, and I have the keys of hell and death. He went to the grave, He went to hell, and proclaimed liberty. He won the victory. When He came out of that tomb, He ruined the powers of darkness. He made an open show of them, a spectacle of them to the universe. I tell you, Jesus won a great victory. The powers of hell, all the power of Satan, were no match for the power that raised Him from the dead. He endured the reproach, the shame of the cross, and the reproach and the shame is gone because He is a risen Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. That reproach and shame is not only gone for our risen Lord, but it is gone for the born-again believer because Jesus has taken it away. When He defeated His enemies, He also defeated our enemies. Amen. Satan is a defeated foe. Death has lost its sting and the grave has no victory because He won the victory. Because He did, we have victory. He is risen and seated at the right hand of the Father. Now, one little girl and her mother were noticing a beautiful rainbow, and the little girl said, and God did that with just His left hand. The mother said, What do you mean? Why did you say that? She said, well, the children's church teacher taught us that Jesus is sitting on the right hand of God. Well, He's not only seated at the right hand of God, but He lives by His Spirit. He lives in the hearts and lives of every born-again believer. He is alive and well in the earth today in the body of Christ, His church. I want to tell you, He came into all of the weakness, the brokenness, the suffering, the sin, the hopelessness of mankind, and He brought victory. That's good news. Amen. That's the gospel. That's good news. And Romans 1:16 says that the good news is the power of God unto salvation For everyone who believes. There's a couple of key words in that verse I want you to hear this morning. It is the power of God. Power. And it is for everyone who believes. When we hear the good news, when we hear the victory that Jesus Christ has won, that He died and paid the price for our sin, and then He was risen from the dead for our justification, listen, that's good news. And when we believe that good news, there is power that sets us free, that saves us, that makes us whole, that restores us. Power for those who believe, to everyone that believes. And when we believe the good news that Jesus died for our sins and rose from the dead, then there's power to work in our lives, to change our lives. We need to get back to a life-changing gospel. We've had too much powerless Christianity. This weak, sissified, wimpy Christianity that has been reduced down to be nothing more than any other religion in the world. I'm telling you, that's not the gospel. The gospel is a life-changing power that if you'll believe it, it'll transform your life. Jesus didn't come to reform people. The gospel, Christianity, isn't just another way to reform people and make us a little better. No, it is to transform our lives by the power of God. It is not the effort of man. It's more than the human will. It's more than education. It is the power of God to work in our lives. Well, so many people, they believe in Jesus. They just don't believe He truly transforms lives. Christianity, the way so many people live it and profess it and even preach it, it's become socially acceptable, politically correct. You know, it's okay to believe in Jesus and believe you're going to heaven someday, but just don't tell anybody that God has changed your life. You start telling people that you used to be an alcoholic, but you're no more, and they'll say, oh, no, 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 you're still alcoholic. You start telling people that you used to be a homosexual, but you've been delivered from that. Oh, wait a minute. You can't say that. I'm telling you, so many have reduced Christianity down to some politically correct form. I'd rather be biblically correct. I'd rather have the life-changing gospel. Amen. It has the power of God to salvation for everyone that believes. A lot of Christians who profess to be Christians, and yet they don't believe God changes lives. Listen, even the demons believe and tremble. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us that in the last days it's going to be terrible times, and it lists out what the people of that generation will be like. And I'm telling you, it is our generation. Part of that, he says, that they'll be lovers of themselves. Lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. And here's the part I especially want you to hear. He says, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. They've got religion, they got a form of godliness, but they deny that God still does miracles. They deny that there's real power to transform your life from the inside out. And I tell you, church, we need to stand up and stand up for the Bible, for the gospel of the Bible, the God of the Bible, who's not a faraway God, but that lives in us, and His power is still available to work in the hearts and lives of His people. I've had enough of that chicken theology. Chicken theology. See, every Sunday, the chickens all get together out in the barnyard, and they have a service. And they talk about how that they can rise above and live better than all the other chickens. How that they can overcome their obstacles. One Sunday, the head rooster, he got up and he crowed about how that they could all rise up and fly and soar above like eagles. Well, they all got so stirred up, they all flapped their wings all around the barnyard. They were all so excited, they had a time. When it was over, they all folded their wings up and walked home. They talk, but they still walk. There's thunder, but no rain. And church, I don't want to be that way. I don't want to just talk about how that we have abundant life. I want to live it. I want to see people living in all that God has for them. But it takes the power of God. It's not just religion. It's not just human effort. It's the power of God at work in our lives. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says this, "For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power." See, we can talk all we want to, but it's the power of God that makes the difference in our lives. It takes the power of God to truly live the Christian life. To be a follower of Jesus Christ, you can't do it in your own strength. It takes God's power in you. Can't be done with human effort. But that power is available to us. Now, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to start with verse 15. And here Paul is praying a prayer for the Ephesian church. And in this prayer, there are some powerful truths that are revealed to us. And I want you to understand that what he's talking about belongs to every born-again Christian. Verse 15, he says, "Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." In other words, we need our eyes opened. We need to see the truth of what is available to us and what God has done for us. "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe." Not just a little dab. A little dab will do you, Christianity. Keep it safe. Keep it comfortable. Keep it socially acceptable and politically correct. No, we're talking about the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe. And there it is again, those two words. There's power that's available. But who is it for? To us who believe. It's when we believe that we tap into that power of God. "The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come." That same power that raised Christ Jesus from the dead is the power that is toward us who believe. It's that same power, resurrection power, that raised Jesus from the dead is available to every child of God. That's the power that's in your life that makes you a new creature in Christ. That's the power that causes you to be born again. And I'm telling you, that life-changing power, it changes your life. It's life-changing. Amen. It changes you. Two things that make a sailboat go. You got to have the wind. That's the power. And you got to raise your sails. If you don't raise your sails, you're not going anywhere fast. God has the power. There's power that's available to us. But it is not until we raise the sails of our faith, it's not until we believe God that anything happens. Most of us understand that when it comes to our salvation, that we have, I mean, if you're born again, that's how you got born again, is you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did for you on the cross. That he paid the price for your sins so you could be reconciled to God. But I'm telling you, this life that he's provided for us is much more than just a ticket to heaven. No, Jesus called it abundant life. He wants us to live in victory. He wants us to have that power in our lives every day. And that's why the Apostle Paul prayed for the Ephesians that they would have that spirit of wisdom and revelation, the knowledge of him, that their eyes, the eyes of their understanding would be open so they could see the exceeding greatness of his power. I want you to see it this morning, the power that's available to us who believe. You know, part of the problem is we're living in a society of skeptics, and it's impacted the church to the point that many Christians struggle to believe for God's power to truly work in their lives. But we need to get back to the Word. The Word of God will strengthen and build our faith. The key to the power of God working in your life is believing. It's having faith to truly believe what God has said, to truly believe that God will do what He says He'll do. It's when we truly believe, when we have faith, that His strength is greater than our weakness. When we believe that there's not anything that He can't do, that He's the God of all flesh, that there's nothing too hard for Him. Listen, if He's the God of all flesh, that includes me. That includes you. There's not anything that He can't do in your life. He has the power. It's whether or not we can believe. Ephesians 3:20 says, "To Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think according to the power that works in us." All we could ask or think. The NIV says, ask or imagine. I don't know about you, but I can dream up some big stuff. But we're serving a God who can do way more than that, exceeding abundantly above, far more than you can think up, than you could possibly imagine. There's no limit of His power. Don't limit God, because I'm telling you, there's no shortage on His end. There's no shortage of power. But He says it's according to the power that works in us. And that happens as we believe. We receive when we believe. Jesus taught us to pray that way, Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire when you pray and believe you receive, you shall have them. What's the key to answered prayer? Having a big enough need? What's the key to answered prayer? To whine and cry out and to agonize before God? To fast and to carry on? I'm telling you, the key to answered prayer is that you believe you receive. That's what Jesus taught. That's where the power is. The power comes in when we believe. When we believe or receive. Mark 9:23, Jesus said, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." Now that's power. Anything is possible. With God, nothing shall be impossible. But here's the key. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. That's where the struggle is whether or not we can believe. Can we just take God at His word? Listen, it's not our weakness. It's not our inability. That's not the problem. It's whether or not we can believe God and just accept the truth of His word, or whether we're going to accept the lie that we can never win. Listen, if the resurrection says anything to us, it says there's no hopeless situation. If it says anything, it says that there's always a way that our God can bring victory, no matter how bad it looks. But you tap into the power of God by faith. And that power is available to us, but we have to believe. Here's power for your life. John 1:12, the Bible says, "As many as received Him, to them gave He power." What did He give? Power! To become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. There's that word believe again. How does that power, how does it get into your life? It's when you believe, when you receive Him and you believe, then there's power to change you into a son, a daughter, a child of God. That's power to change your life, your identity, your ancestry, to change your line from Adam's line to Jesus' line. I'm telling you, you got a new spiritual DNA.
Come on, brother.
Well, I'm going to get myself in trouble here with some people. I know it, but I've got to be biblically correct, not politically correct. You're not ordinary. When you're born again, you're not ordinary. When you become a son or daughter of God, you're not ordinary. See, the world will say, well, we're all children of God. Some who don't even believe in God, they'll say, well, we're all children of God. You're special, just like everyone else. I know it sounds politically correct, but listen to me. Jesus said, you must be born again. You must be born again. And when you're born again, that means you are born of God. You're born of the Spirit of God. You become a son, a daughter of God. You're changed. You're not the same old person. You might feel like the same old person. Your family and friends might say, well, you hadn't changed a bit. You're the same old person. But I'm telling you that the power of the gospel will transform your life if you'll believe it. Born of God. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4 and 5 says, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. How do you get overcoming power in your life? How do you overcome? It's by faith. It's trusting in Him. It's believing that He loves you, that His power is available to you. Who is he that overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. See, when we believe, the power of Christ causes us to overcome. And what do you need to overcome? What barriers are holding you back? Maybe hurts and disappointments from the past. Maybe there are anxieties and fears about the future that are holding you back. Maybe there's personal weaknesses or failures. I'm telling you, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And whatever battles and struggles you're facing, if you'll believe God, if you'll trust God, you can tap into the power of God that works in you. That same power that raised Jesus from the dead works in the heart and life of every believer. Turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 6 and verse 4. Somebody turn there. I want somebody to know I'm telling the truth this morning. Romans 6 and 4, it says, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Just as, the same way that Jesus was raised from the dead, we're supposed to walk in the newness of life. You see, that resurrection power, it transforms you. Why is it that so many Christians look and act and behave just like the world around them? We're supposed to be walking in the newness of life. It's like the old guy. I like to illustrate it this way. The old guy that has been driving the same clunker for 340 years. You always know when he's gone, when he's coming down the road. In fact, you know when he's been there because there's a cloud of blue smoke. The paint has peeled off the car. Rust is starting to come through the body. The vinyl top is cracked and peeled away. The seats are all tattered and torn. Has no air conditioning. No power steering anymore. You see him straining at the wheel and hear it whining when he turns. One day, he finally gives in to all of his friends who have been after him for months and months, maybe years and years, telling him, hey, you just need to go get you a new car. So he finally gets a big wad of cash, all that money he saved from driving that clunker all those years and not fixing it up. And he goes down and he picks out a brand new Mercedes with everything on it. Heated leather seats, climate control, navigation system, everything completely loaded. It's beautiful. And he drives it home. And it was absolutely wonderful. It was glorious as he drove it home that day and parked it in the garage. And he went inside and he called all of his friends and he says, "Oh, my new car is wonderful. It's so fantastic. I'm so excited about my new car." But he left it parked in the garage and he drives the old one. Just like a lot of Christians. Still living in stress and worry, anxiety. Not praying, not having peace in their life. Still on an emotional roller coaster every day. They don't have the joy of the Lord as their strength. Still dissatisfied, still empty, still looking instead of enjoying that living water that truly satisfies. Why is it that so many Christians are still living the old life instead of the new? You see that old guy? He just bought that car for the drive home. And a lot of Christians got born again just for the ride home. But that's not God's plan. No, he speaks of an abundant life. He speaks of a new life. And it's not just for when you get to heaven. It's for right here and right now that we're to live a new life. That's the power of the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:17. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation, a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. See, being born again isn't just about changing your eternal destination. It says, old things are passed away. All things are become new. Old things. What old things have passed away? It's old habits, old patterns that lead to failure and destruction. Old ways, they've passed away. All things have become new. You've become a new creature. The Bible says through these exceeding great and precious promises, we're partakers of His divine nature. I want to tell you again, that doesn't happen because you try harder. It doesn't happen because you're better than somebody else, because you're more determined, because of the strength of your will. It happens by faith as you believe what Jesus Christ has done for you and you believe in the power of the gospel that's available to you. You see, none of us can take any glory for ourselves because it's not what we did. All we did is believe. And as we believe, the power of God is what sets us free. It's the power of God that changes us from that old person to the new man, to walk in the newness of life that He's provided for us. So many people still allow fears to control them. The Bible says God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. You know, people don't mind you saying, "Oh, God's given me a spirit of love." And they probably appreciate it if He's given you a sound mind. But you tell people that God has given you a spirit of power and they look at you like you're crazy. Let's just leave the power out of this. But you can't. Without the power, it's not the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. It is that power at work in us. Don't let insecurity hold you back. You're a son, a daughter of God. I tell you, there's not any situation, not anything God asks you to do that you should ever be timid or afraid of. You are a child of the King. I don't know what you struggle with. Maybe you struggle with your temper, with jealousy, with envy or lust or some other personal weakness. You need to believe that you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, born of God, that you're an overcomer and the power of God is at work in you. Maybe you lack self-discipline to have a consistent prayer life and devotional life. Self-discipline, maybe to control your appetite, or maybe you waste way too much time with foolish, fruitless activities like watching TV for hours a day. And you need self-discipline. And the world says, just suck it up. Just try harder. Just do better. But I'm telling you, the key is to believe God, to believe that His power is at work in you, to transform your life, that His power is available to make you a new creation in Christ Jesus, to cause you to overcome. This is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. I tell you, it's the word of the Lord. If we'll believe God and take Him at His word, it can transform our lives. I want to challenge you to realize that you're serving a God who's able to transform, to change your life, to make you a new creature. That power that raised Christ from the dead is also working in your life. To be able to live above fear, to be able to have, he said, power over all the power of the enemy. Power to fulfill the purpose of God in your life. Power to be able to do all things through Christ who strengthens you. That's what Paul said. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's power. Listen, you can do anything that God wants you to do. Anything that He brings in your life, in your path. I'm telling you, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know why most people can't? It's not because they're weak. No, when I'm weak, then I'm strong because Christ's power rests upon me. It's because they're trying to do it on their own instead of relying upon the power of Jesus Christ and having faith that He really will strengthen them. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So whatever weakness and struggle you may have, don't accept the lie that you can never win. Well, you can never win on your own, but you're not on your own. You have the power of God at work in you. Mark 9:23 again, Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. One translation puts it this way, canst thou believe? Can you believe? Can you believe? If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. You know, sometimes we may have dealt with something for so long that we just give up our victory. Maybe we think it's too late. Maybe we think that if it was going to happen, if God was ever going to do anything, it would have happened by now. Maybe we think that this is just the way it is, that somehow maybe this is God's will or it's just our burden to bear. And I'm telling you, that's all lies from the Father of lies, because He knows that if you can believe God, if you can stand in faith, the power of God is available to work in your life, to change your life. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Luke chapter 8. We're going to close with this story. Luke chapter 8. We'll begin with verse 43. While you're turning there, I just want to remind you of another story. Jesus is on His way to heal a little girl who's been sick. And while they're on the way, people come and they say, it's too late. She's already died. Sometimes we think it's too late. Sometimes we think there's just no way now. I'm telling you, it's never too late for a God who raises the dead. Jesus looked at that father and He says, only believe. You know what God really wants from you? Believe. Now, a woman having a flow of blood, verse 43, a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any. Here's a woman that had been sick for 12 long years with an issue of blood. In that day and time, in that culture, that issue of blood would have kept other people from touching her, because if they did, they would be unclean. It would have kept her from being able to, as an unclean person, from being able to go into the house of worship. I'm telling you, this woman suffered because of her condition. She spent everything that she had. Listen, any of you have been sick much or had any serious illness in your family, man, you know how fast that can happen, that you can spend your life savings. This woman had been sick for 12 years and spent everything she had, and yet she was no better. I don't know what you might be dealing with. I don't know what your struggle might be, whether it's a physical illness, a problem in your home, a personal weakness. But I'm telling you, whatever it is, don't allow the fact that you've been struggling with this for so long to cripple your faith and to keep you from believing God. She came from behind and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitudes throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" Everybody was touching Jesus. The crowd was all around him, pressing up against him. Dozens, hundreds of people had touched him. Everybody's thronging, pressing, getting up close to him and touching him. And he says, "Who touched me?" What was the difference in this person who touched him and all the other people? What was the difference in that person who got healed or had a miracle, got delivered in a service, and all the other people? Jesus says, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." He said, power went out from me. Yeah, everybody's touching me, but power went out from me. Somebody touched me and power went out from me. When the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling, falling down before him like she had done something wrong. Some people think they'd do something wrong to really believe God. Falling down before him, she declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." What was it that caused the power to flow? It was her faith. It was that faith that caused her to say, "If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be healed." I'm telling you, church, that power is still available today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That same power that flowed that day is available to people who can believe, just to reach out and take a hold of it by faith. You know, sometimes we make faith so complicated that we say, "Oh, well, I don't know if I can do that." It's a choice that you decide to believe God, to take God at His Word, and to reach out by faith and believe that that power still flows. Paul said, I want to say it one more time, that power, the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, is just like that power that raised Christ from the dead. We need our eyes open. And I'm believing God today that by the Word of the Lord, that our eyes are being opened, amen? That the Spirit of God is opening our understanding and causing us to see this truth, that if we'll believe God, if we'll have faith, that resurrection power is still available to every child of God.